Welcome back to Schnepps Connects. Today we're joined by Kelly Moen, the Dynamic Chief Information Security Officer for the City of New York. As the leader of New York City Cyber Command, a division of the Office of Technology and Innovation, Kelly leads the city's efforts to safeguard against cyber threats. Her team sets the security standards and collaborates with over 100 municipal agencies to protect and respond to digital risks. Before stepping into this role, Kelly was the Chief Information Security Officer for the NYPD and was widely respected for her mission-driven and collaborative spirit. She's also served in pivotal roles at the Department of Homeland Security, leading teams and briefing the Secretary of Homeland Security. Today, we'll dive into Kelly's career and the role of the New York City Cyber Command. So, Kelly, it's great to have you with me. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me. I'm happy to be here.
Well, this definitely has to be a very vital role, especially in today's day and age. But I'd love to hear, how did you get started in this area of work?
Great question. So my path to this role and cybersecurity more broadly is definitely not a straight line. I think like most in their career journey, you go towards what drives you and, you know, excites you over the course of your career. And so I spent the majority of my career actually in Washington, D.C. I did not get a degree in cybersecurity. I am one of the ones who I went to school for international studies and a Russian language and stayed in D.C. essentially working and supporting the federal government and the technology sector. And through sort of a natural progression and mentors around my life, I realized that I was really just curious about cybersecurity more broadly as a field and started diving deep, getting certifications and on-the-job experience. And I was lucky enough to find my way up to New York City in the pandemic of all times to support the mission at a municipal level. And all that experience and insight with sort of how to work cybersecurity problems at scale that I was doing at the Department of Homeland Security really has helped grow and sort of expand our ability to affect and improve our cybersecurity maturity and posture within the city. So it's been a really exciting time. And I'm so happy that we get to chat today. You know, it's Cybersecurity Awareness Month. So it's a big month for us. And it's definitely top of mind for New Yorkers as well, how to protect themselves online. We know that the holiday time is ripe for potential for scams as well. So really happy to be here.
Well, you know, I have to say they happen all the time. I just got an email this morning that I sent to my head of IT, making sure that all my employees are aware not to open an email of that nature. I mean, typically it's pretty obvious, but I feel like all different types of businesses and organizations are, you know, more or less trying to be attacked.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, phishing, what you just described, is a type of social engineering tactic that's used very frequently, right? Threat actors need to find a way to get into a system. And so that is absolutely, I mean, good for you and good on you for being able to spot a fish. That's what we train our employees on how to do to make sure that they're able to not just spot the potential fish or smishing, which is a text-based social engineering attack, but also how to report it to us as well, internal to the city.
Well, let's talk a little bit more about New York City Cyber Command. Can you touch a little bit on what the roles and responsibilities are of the Cyber Command in protecting the city agencies and the public at large?
Sure, absolutely. So New York City Cyber Command was founded actually in 2017, likely the oldest and kind of first instantiation of an organization that's sole purpose is to drive enhancements for the protection and defense for New York City. A municipality of this size requires that concerted effort amongst 100 plus, like you mentioned, 100 plus city agencies. I like to say that we either directly or indirectly support all 16 critical infrastructure sectors. So it's a massive attack surface. And the threat landscape over the last few years in particular has only continued to increase, not just targeting municipalities, state, local, and federal, but also more broadly, critical infrastructure sectors, healthcare, education. And so New York City really thought about this right when we created New York City Cyber Command. And really our focus day to day is all of the core pillars you'd find in any large enterprise cybersecurity program, things like security monitoring, incident response, cyber threat intelligence, all the threat management functions, but we also work with each agency to enhance their cybersecurity maturity as well. by helping them deploy next generation, you know, security tools and enhanced protections. And it really is a collaborative effort. I like to say that this is absolutely a shared mission. A lot of us in the field that say that cybersecurity is definitely a team sport, and it requires that holistic vision of where we want to take New York City. Our mission is to make New York City the most cyber resilient city in the world. So every time that we interact with our agencies or we're protecting, you know, city employees, we've got over 300,000 city employees to protect and defend within the city. We think of it from that. What's going to make us more resilient? What's going to make us stronger together? How do we get to even more maturity in the cybersecurity place than we have now?
So if I have this right, New York faces 90 billion suspicious cyber events each week, which is mind-boggling. So how does Cyber Command ensure that the city can remain resilient against such a high volume of threats?
So 90 billion is right. We see a significant amount of suspicious cyber events per week. But if you think about it, you know, correlated to our size, New York City is quite unique in terms of municipality. We operate at a scale that is most similar to an organization like U.S. Army Command with the number of employees that we're protecting, their identities, right? We're also focused on, you know, city systems, city data. And so we do that a couple different methods. First, automation, making sure that we have the right tooling and defenses in place to be able to spot suspicious activity and also be able to prevent it. Distill that number down through next generation, you know, automation and tooling from our really, really great cyber defenders we've got on our team to, on average, you know, 50 or so investigations that we're conducting at any point during the week. And again, those really do range, right, to more, you know, simple type potential attacks that we're seeing, like phishing and the like. And so how do we stay resilient? I think the focus for us just continues to be making sure that we are engaging with our agencies, that we are focused on the new and evolving threat landscape and looking at our defenses, saying, what do we need? What do we need to tweak? For anyone who works in this field, you know, we are constantly having to evolve because threat actors evolve just as fast,
sure,
if not faster. So we've got to make sure that we're one step ahead of the game.
Talk to me about the Joint Security Operations Center and how it encourages collaboration between different divisions of cyber professionals across both local and federal arenas.
So as I mentioned, you know, New York City has really thought differently about cybersecurity from a very early time frame, right? 2017, the creation of New York City Cyber Command. And so very quickly after Mayor Adams took office, he instantiated a joint collaboration really between New York City and what we have existing as part of this massive cybersecurity, you know, entity and footprint and already really robust codified processes, and partnered with New York State and Governor Hochul to create the Joint Security Operations Center. The thought and was and continues to be that this joint collaboration bringing together federal, state, local, all across New York, all across, you know, even the US, gives us the opportunity to be able to share more unique near real-time insights to better posture our collective resilience against cyber threats. And I think that's really the differentiator here. It has paid dividends for us to be able to, when we see something, share it with trusted partners so that they can protect themselves against similar or the same threat, and vice versa. And that collaboration and joint spirit has really made the JSOC incredibly effective and continues to be effective to this day.
I'm happy to hear that the city, you know, state and federal government's working together, because it's, you know, I'm sure mutually important that they protect digital assets.
Absolutely.
So there's been a lot of news about that recent CrowdStrike IT outage. There were delays at all the airports. What was done in New York City to help prevent that outage from affecting critical services in the city?
So for us, I'm incredibly proud of the work that collectively the city did to essentially insulate ourselves from what you saw affecting other entities globally. It could have been CrowdStrike, or it could have been any other vendor, really, that could have suffered this largely unprecedented issue that caused global IT outages sort of across the board, right? What's interesting about this particular use case is that it happened to be a security tool. So for us, we were well positioned to, one, understand how the tool functions, right? And then two, we made very specific decisions early on architecturally about where and how we were going to protect our different enclaves within the city. And further than that, our focus on resiliency was really brought to the forefront in this unprecedented event. We had weeks prior, actually, you know, as recently as weeks prior, conducted a joint exercise, really mimicking an availability issue or a potential intrusion citywide, right? And we practiced, and those efforts to practice consistently, and even more broadly, you know, citywide exercise that was performed near weeks earlier, really caused us to be able to come out on front more so than most, being able to understand how to tackle the issue at hand. You know, this wasn't a cyber attack, right? But it was a security tool. And so making sure that, you know, our partners and all of our agency heads, you know, elected officials had an understanding of what we were doing. And I'm really proud to say that, you know, our critical infrastructure and critical services remained up, right? 311 and 911 were functioning. And that's a testament to all of the hard work that the team does collectively across the city to practice for unprecedented events like these.
Right. It's like mission accomplished, on to the next thing.
Right. The work never stops.
Talk to us about Cyber Academy.
New York City Cyber Academy is something that we launched in the fall of 2022, and it really came from Executive Order 10. So for those of you that might not be familiar, Executive Order 10 is really just instantiates even more so what New York City Cyber Command's roles and responsibilities are, but also mandates each agency identify and name a cyber liaison. And what we noticed and what we wanted to do is, you know, as each agency is naming this cyber liaison, we thought to ourselves, let's get them some additional training because we are collectively, you know, stronger together, better together. And we know that incident response skills are, one, not only hard to learn, but also hard to maintain. It's like a muscle. If you don't use it, you lose it. Yeah. And so collectively, we knew, all right, so we want to give something to the cyber liaisons, and so we're going to focus on incident response training. So that we launched New York City Cyber Academy in the fall of 2022. We've had cohorts of cyber liaisons going through that program basically every fall and spring. Actually, today is the first day of the new cohort. And really, you know, the initial focus are the liaisons with incident response skills, but more broadly, we are looking at ways that we can upskill and reskill city employees, and hopefully in the future, more broadly, potentially members of the public who want to get into the cybersecurity field, because there's certainly more avenues to this profession than just incident response, right? There's so much that you can do if you want to switch careers or you're just starting out in your career journey to get into this field. So providing pathways to get there.
Is it in person or is it online or a combination?
It's in person, actually. Find that there's these interesting and sort of, I think, natural sort of cohort groupings and community that forms with having them in person. And we've gotten really great feedback. Typically, we have someone in every sector, right, of the critical infrastructure sectors be joining these trainings over the course of the cohort. So they're able to also share their unique experiences within their organization and be able to, you know, brief out lessons learned or, you know, interesting insights they've been able to find so that there's also some cross-training there as well.
So is the Cyber Academy something that the public or business community can get involved in?
So it's focused on the cyber liaisons within city employees upskilling and reskilling right now. But in the future, that definitely is our hope that we can grow it and expand it so that folks who are trying to get into the field or are curious about the skills required to, you know, get a job as a cybersecurity professional, ideally with New York City, but even, you know, more broadly with the industry, can get involved.
Is there a website that people can learn more about the Cyber Academy?
No, not at this time. We don't have a website, but we do. I mean, if you search New York City Cyber Academy, we've announced quite a few of the cyber liaisons who have graduated. We do like to celebrate each of the liaison cohort graduating class because it's a big accomplishment that they've been able to go through all the courses and get a level of understanding to be able to perform these crucial skills.
Yeah, it sounds like a terrific resource for, you know, city government employees and potentially something the private sector could follow in the future.
Yeah, absolutely.
I would love for you to share a little bit about the New York City Secure app and how it helps residents protect their privacy on their personal devices.
So NYC Secure is a great app available for free for download to New Yorkers on the App Store. I use it. Most of the folks in my life use it. I always recommend. What it does essentially is give you, it's a mobile threat detection application. It gives you a level of assurance to protect your mobile device and how you're interacting with the internet, right, on your mobile phone, which arguably most people do these days, against cyber threats or risks. So things like you can validate or verify a phishing link, test whether or not a phishing link is actually malicious, right? It scans your applications to check for risks or threats embedded in your apps that you might not know about. Things like that. So it also provides some sort of tips and tricks, right? If you're joining an insecure Wi-Fi network, it'll alert you as such, right? Just a couple reminders in your daily life to help protect yourself.
That's great. In addition to NYC Secure, downloading that app and getting that app immediately on my phone, what are other tips or advice that you can give our listeners to improve their overall cybersecurity?
Absolutely. So it is Cybersecurity Awareness Month. So I'd be remiss not to mention a couple ways that you can keep yourself safe online. First and foremost, I will say multi-factor authentication. You hear it getting talked about all the time. If you have accounts that offer multi-factor authentication, because most of them do at this point by default, make sure you're enrolled. Make sure you've got multi-factor authentication turned on for things like your email, your banking account, things like that, your most crucial assets. And then passwords, right? So we like to say, you know, think about a passphrase that is long. A passphrase could be, you know, string a couple words together with a unique character, some complexity in there, you know, exclamation point, something like that. That's essentially a passphrase, something that's relatively easy to remember, but is longer. Studies have now shown that the longer the password, the better it is for your protection. And for folks that really just cannot seem to remember their passwords, which, you know, hey, it's understandable. Let's make sure they're unique and different for each account. So if that's, you know, tricky for you, get a password manager. There's a ton on the market right now. That is absolutely something that you should invest in. And that gives you a level of assurance as well that you're not repeating your passwords or anything like that. And then, you know, when you're interacting with your email or your texts, like we mentioned earlier about social engineering attacks, we like to say stop, think, and don't click, right? So if you stop, you see something that could be suspicious, think about it. Are you supposed to be getting an email from that person? Is there supposed to be this level of urgency from a person that maybe you haven't met before or an organization that normally doesn't contact you like that? And then if that's the case, don't click on it, right? You can always call your bank or the organization that's contacting you directly to verify if they, in fact, are trying to reach you.
All good advice, that's for sure. You know, I can't ignore the fact that you're a woman in the technology field. You know, my mother is my business partner. She started our business out of our home in 1985. I'd love for you, you know, either as a woman or just in general, offer advice to our listeners that are interested in pursuing a career in this field and maybe what you've learned along your journey.
So the biggest piece of advice that I would say is cybersecurity, I do really do believe as an industry is absolutely can be an equalizer, right? And so you have folks in this profession that come from incredibly different backgrounds, all with a passion and drive to learn and intellectual curiosity, sort of rigor and credibility in the space that they've built over many, many years of trying to build things and likely breaking them and rebuilding them all over again. And so when I look at and talk about some of those key traits, a lot of us have those and may not realize that they directly can apply to this field. You certainly don't need a bachelor's or a master's degree in cybersecurity to get into the field. There's amazing certifications out there that you can go after to get some, you know, experience so you are able to answer, you know, questions about the cybersecurity sort of pillars within an interview. But the biggest thing that I think about for especially students or folks that want to switch into this as a career is, you know, really dive deep with yourself and figure out what excites you and you're passionate about, regardless of what field you're working in. Some of those skills are likely translatable. And if you want to get into cybersecurity, talk to folks, network, and believe that you can be in this field, right? There's a ton of opportunities out there that you can take advantage of. And I think for me, I went to a great public school. I went to a great college, largely could have taken advantage of a lot that was available to me. I was really privileged to have these great experiences in the education world that a lot don't have. And I still did not think or consider or sort of open my aperture about, oh, maybe I should explore computer science, or maybe I should take an engineering class. That only happened in my more adult life, realizing, hey, those concepts and ideas drive me. That's interesting and it's compelling. Mm-hmm. So I would say if you're curious about getting into cybersecurity, there's a ton of free trainings online. Like, take a class in your off time, you know, figure out if it's something that you want to stick with. And then, you know, there's absolutely a pathway for you into the world. And New York City is always hiring for cybersecurity. The industry absolutely needs more folks in cybersecurity. And the last point I'll make too is we talk a lot about diversity of experience and diversity of perspective. That is such a core and critical skill that you need in really, I think, any industry, but especially ours, to be better investigators, to be better architects and engineers, better people, right? The soft skills and the hard skills, that diversity of perspective, diversity of experience really lends itself to this industry. And we look for people who can think differently about problems and solve complex problems with creative solutions.
Kelly, all great advice. And I think, you know, it definitely has to be a terrific career path because there's only going to be, you know, more involvement in the tech field and more security that's going to be needed to be implemented and seems to be changing, you know, by the minute, if not by the second. So I want to remind everyone listening to please subscribe to the Schneps Connects podcast. You can stream all of our podcasts at podcast.schnepsmedia.com. or on basically all major podcast networks. So Kelly, thank you so much for being with us. I hope, you know, we're able to inform a lot more people and make them a lot more secure. And thank you for keeping our city safe.
Thanks again for having me. I really appreciate it.
It was a pleasure talking with you.
You as well.